Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Montgomery, Alabama, Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road, covering the 2026 Sun Belt Baseball Championships. Bob Getty here with Dima Mixon, and John Cox is back with us. And you might ask why, and that is because we have nothing to do. We are in a perpetual rain delay. A game that was supposed to start at 11, then we heard 12, then we heard a 12:30 update. And, John, where would you guess right now we will play?
I would err on the longer side. I'd say 4 o'clock would be my best bet right now.
I think we heard 4 o'clock was the last, is the next update. So whenever they say that the game starts, you have to obviously allot an hour for them to get all this off the field and then for the teams to warm up. I mean, I'd say we're going to be looking closer to 5:30 if I had to guess.
Just
guessing.
That's great.
And, of course, there's still two other games that have to get in tonight.
Right.
And we've heard some mixed reporting, nothing to report yet about the status of those two games.
We're hearing all kinds of rumors.
Yeah.
They're considering possibility of single elimination. We
sure.
Even heard they were talking about moving some of the loser bracket games over to the Troy campus. But everything's kind of up in the air. And, oddly, it's not raining. I mean, it's drizzled just a little bit, but it does look like a lot of bad weather is headed our way.
Yeah, I think it was more for the perpetual of you just don't want to get a game started and couldn't play. But the game was scheduled to go off at 11. It rained a little bit, but, I mean,
probably could have played.
I think you could have gotten a few innings in, but that's the problem is that, you know, if for example, for Southern Miss, if Camden Clark starts and you only get a few innings in, well, then you burn two of your starters. And I just don't think Oz wanted to do that. And likewise with Skyler Mead at Troy. I just think that it was a smart decision just not to get this game going and just wait it out. Because if you look behind us, Bob, where all the weather's coming,
it looks
sunny in front of us. But behind us, it's
right.
A dark cloud headed our way.
Well,
so.
Hey, I want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Store, Century First Federal Credit Union, and Paris Tractor for sponsoring our coverage. I'll tell you what, it's so slow here, actually. Speaking of Corner Market, John and I, we were just talking about shopping at Corner Market. And let me tell you what, if there is good news in the rain delay, it's that John discovered the oatmeal raisin cookies up here in the press suite. John, how many have you had this morning?
Two.
Two? Only two?
Well, two boxes.
There two boxes.
There were double
okay.
cookies in both of them. I do. I love it. Ever since I was a little boy, a million years ago, I liked oatmeal raisin cookies. So whenever I see them, good ones, man, I can't stop eating them.
And you were complaining you didn't have any cold milk to go with them.
That would have been nice, but yeah. I looked around. I couldn't find any. I even went down to the kitchen here at the ballpark, and
mm-hmm.
I couldn't find any.
No cold milk.
No cold milk.
I always thought that oatmeal raisin cookies weren't ever actually supposed to be invented. You know, that somebody made them as a joke trying to trick somebody for chocolate chip cookies, and then they ate them and then actually realized they were good.
They're the best cookies.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know, I just always thought that they were made as a prank.
Hmm. You know anything about that?
No, but that's a good prank if it was.
Somebody knew what they were doing. It stuck.
Somebody, I like them, whoever they were.
All right, let's see how we got here. Let's go back to Tuesday.
What, there was games played this week?
There were a couple of games played. Louisiana beat Marshall 11-1, and then Georgia State beat Old Dominion 17-1. Then we rolled around to Wednesday. The days are getting a little mixed up. Today's Friday, correct?
Yes.
Texas State beat Appalachian State 6-5. Louisiana, which has been playing very well, beat Coastal 12-11. That was a really good game. And then at about 12:15 Thursday morning, Southern Miss knocked off Georgia State 7-6. And then yesterday we had Troy defeating South Alabama 11-3. Had a full slate of games yesterday. Coastal beat Appalachian State 8-2. South Al beat Georgia State and eliminated them 7-4. And Texas State last night, in what was probably the best game of the day, comes from behind late last night in the ninth inning to knock off Louisiana. And so as we sit here now, Texas State has advanced to the winner's bracket on the other side of the bracket from Southern Miss. And, of course, Southern Miss scheduled to play Troy at 11. Also scheduled today, the loser's bracket game, which will be a really good game, another rematch between Coastal and Louisiana, maybe. And then supposedly tonight, South Alabama would play the loser of the Troy-Southern Miss game. But where do you think all this is right now, Dima?
Well, I think it's crazy that Louisiana and Coastal are going to play again. That's the fifth time they played in the past week. They played in a series last week in Lafayette, and they already played this week. So they're going to play for the fifth time in just under a week. As we heard that game might be getting moved, and that is not something that has been confirmed yet. But the South Alabama game can't be moved because they have to await the winner of the game we were supposed to see at 11 a.m. Hmm. So it's kind of a mess in that juncture. So I would assume that game would still happen tonight, by all means. So if Southern Miss were to start at, let's just say, throw a number out there, let's just say 5:30, that game would probably be over about, 8:39, you know? And then, you know, you're probably thinking of a 10 o'clock first pitch for that loser's bracket game.
Wow.
And then tomorrow, I mean, the forecast doesn't look much better tomorrow, and you have a possibility of four games tomorrow, and then the forecast doesn't look great for Sunday afternoon either, and of course that's the winner take all championship game. So I think there's a lot of decisions that are going to be made over the next few hours. Yeah. And I definitely think, you know, you look back and they've done it before in 2021 where the Sun Belt went to a single elimination format because you have to have a champion, you have to have an auto bid. So I think that. Let's just say this. I think all possibilities are in play at this juncture.
Right. John, how many of these have you set through in your lifetime?
Conference tournaments?
Yeah, weather delays.
Weather delay, a lot. Yeah, I've learned some. But, you know, we've got a little easier when we handle on the radio. We'll play, you know, some interviews that I have. We keep some stuff kind of put aside in case we need it. But then you can always, we'll go back and down the line on our network, we'll have a replay of maybe a great game, maybe a game from the College World Series, mm-hmm. maybe a game the Eagles, the one that got them to the College World Series, things like that. So we try to, you know, keep them occupied, but mm-hmm. Obviously mm-hmm. a lot of people are going to go do something else when it goes to a rain delay. But you don't see as many of them anymore. I mean, the artificial surface has made it great. I think all the times at Pete Taylor Park, I sat through a rain delay there, and now, you know, those are almost non-existent. Unless
Correct.
It's just a storm that's going to sit in, and, you know, all afternoon or all evening like that, because
Correct.
No matter how hard it rains, within, a matter of an hour or so, you've got it squeegeed off of there, and the water's gone, and you can play baseball.
Right.
And if you look at the radar right now, it just looks like we're all just awaiting this line of storms coming our way. So we sit here in Montgomery, we're kind of on the front line of it. So, like, we're looking at the ballpark right now, and it doesn't look bad. But the problem is when you look to the west of us, there's a mm-hmm. huge line of storms coming our way. I just think we're going to be a while.
I think we should point out, too, these folks here have done a really good job fighting this from a field perspective. I mean, it came a bad rain the other night in the Southern Miss Georgia State game, and to their credit, man, they got out there and worked and got that field playable. So it looks good right now, but you just wonder, guys, even if you – John, if you had 3 or 4 hours of rain, then you wonder about field conditions.
Yeah,
I mean, could you play on a grass surface?
You know, I used to be in the old days of the Metro Conference where they'd have two fields. It used to be down in Tallahassee. You'd play on the main field. They had another field that was adjacent to it they could mm-hmm. play on. And so if you got into that situation, you could kind of double up games and catch up. But hard to do that anymore. And, the artificial surface is great. That gets you to play faster or get back playing faster if you had a rain delay. But the problem is you run out of time. You know, you don't want those athletes out there playing at 12:30 in the morning and things like that. So, it's tough, though. Rain delays. So make it tough.
But what does this do to the team? This kid, the Southern Miss team has been sitting around basically since Wednesday.
Yeah, they've definitely been like the recipient of like the toughest, I think, the toughest team being recipient of this, because you know you come here as the one seed, you're supposed to play at 4 on Wednesday, and you don't get started till I think what was that 7:30, something like that, and then of course that got delayed, and then they, you know, resumed around 10 o'clock, and then you're supposed to play last night, but because of the rain on Wednesday, you know, that got pushed back, and then you kind of get up for a game this morning, a big game. This is a big game in the tournament. Mm-hmm. You get up for a game, and then you get here, you're told you're not going to play, go back to the hotel, and now you're just kind of sitting around waiting. So you know that has to do something, and you know you hope that, you know, for the part that they were out here, you know, and I'm just thinking of pitching wise, like I did not, from when I got here about 10 o'clock, I did not see Clark necessarily going through his normal pregame routine. So I don't think that necessarily he was, you know, I think he's going to be full go is all I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we expect him to pitch when and if they play tonight, right?
I would expect him to pitch if it's pretty confident there's not going to be any another delays.
Yeah. Biggest concern, John, for a team sitting around is what, they just kind of lose their edge a little bit, maybe?
Well, maybe so. But, that's where I think Christian Ostrander is such so good as being a coach at Southern Miss. He knows how to – he's been around it so much. He knows how to – motivate's not the right word, but he knows how to do the things to keep his guys kind of tied in to what's going to happen that afternoon or that evening, and so it's been good.
All right, John Cox is with Dima and I. We're at Davos Field. Is that it? Davos Field here in Montgomery, Alabama, waiting out the rain. We'll have more on the Eagle Hour right after this.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Here in Montgomery, we've been awaiting the rain and the weather delay, and we just heard a loudable thunderclap and with lightning in that
very loud
in that commercial break. As we still sit here in an indefinite weather delay, again we want to thank all of our sponsors: Parrish Tractor, Century First Credit Union, Genesis of Hattiesburg, and of course the great store of Corner Market that does sell Jenny's ice cream, which is my first love, of course, Jenny's ice cream. Want to go back to Mississippi and catch up with Brandon Shields. Brandon Shields covers high school sports for Capital Sports, Mississippi Gridiron, MHSAA, pretty much everything you can cover high school sports on, and this man knows all about it. State championships happening over there in Pearl, Mississippi. Brandon, local story for us at the Eagle Hour, the Pedal Panthers, 7A state champions in baseball. Can you just talk us through just how historic that is for them and kind of how big it was for them? And, you know, they were the four seed, of course, in the field, losing four straight, you know, to get into the playoffs, but they did not lose a game in the playoffs and won the 7A state title.
You know, they lost the series. Lost our final two series in division play. Lost to Oak Grove the final week, and then the week before, they lost to Northwest Rankin. So, it was kind of a head scratch. Like, man, what kind of momentum does this team have going into the playoffs? And and then they played Ocean Springs. There was a red hot team at the time going in to the playoffs. And they swept them. I mean, went down there game one, won 8-3, and then came back and won, I believe, 10-3 in game two. And then the rest is history. They just got high at the right time. They overcame, obviously, like any high school team, you overcome a lot of stuff. And so, and Trey Barnes stepped up big time. He was big time this series up here in the state championship game. He's just starting to play, as y'all know.
Yep.
And he He stepped up big last night with 3-for-4 out of that towering home run in the third inning. He gave Cal a 2-0 lead. He had two stolen bases. So he was MVP of the series. He was big time for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Trey Barnes, as you're talking about, Southern Miss signee, who describe him if you can, Brandon, for our listeners. I mean, really physical guy, very fast, but can drive the baseball out. And that's a ballpark that it's very tough to drive the baseball out, especially as a high school player.
Yeah, it's very hard to hit a home run here for whatever reason. At this park, the ball is not very here, and he's a physical specimen at the plate. I mean, he's 6'4", about 190 pounds. I mean, he can run. He makes plays in the outfield. He made two great catches last night in left field. So he's just got a lot of speed. You know, he's going to touch Ozzie. They know what they're doing as far as developing good hitters. So
yeah,
he'll just have to get in the off season. Once he gets to Southern Miss in the fall, he'll go. We will get in their off season program and get better from there. It's just he's fun to watch. He is fun to watch.
Absolutely. So that is the first state championship for Petal in baseball since 2011. I believe I have that correct. And obviously their first ever 7A championship. Another Southern Miss commit, Bankston Walters, really good game for PCS in the game one of the 3A championship series. And they're going to have their game two here in just a little bit. And I believe Troy signee, Tyler Flint, on the mound for the PCS Bobcats. But Brandon, seems like another chance for the Pine Belt to get another state title in one of the classifications.
Pine Belt has a chance to get two state championships today with PCS and Summerall tonight.
Sure.
PCS and Boone, Bankston Walters, he was a one-man show on Wednesday, threw a one-hitter, had 13 strikeouts. I mean, every pitch he has was working. I mean, Boonville had no answer. He walked four batters. I mean, walked the bases loaded in the second inning, but he was obviously able to get out of it. But yeah, he was as advertised as he has been all year. So I expect PCS to in this thing today in a few hours. They play Boonville game two. Tyner Flint will go today for PCS. He's, like you said, he's Simon Troy. He's had a great playoff. I mean, I've seen him twice in the playoffs, and both times he's had 14 strikeouts in those two appearances against St. Andrews and against Pisgah. So he's been spectacular is an understatement of how good he's been this season. And some off tonight against Pontotoc in 5A. So I know game twos hasn't been kind to the Bobcats in the playoffs. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
I saw Tyner Flint pitch against West Marion for PCS when they were to won that game against West Marion's arm. But Bankston Walters, of course, he throws with so much power. He reminds me a lot of a pitcher at Southern Miss, Colby Allen, just kind of with the intensity he pitches with. And I guess you saw that a little bit in yesterday's game.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Throws a lot of intensity. You know, he's the leader of the team. So you know, him and Flint, leaders of this team. So yeah, the guys look up to him. So yeah, he gets after it. He's a tough competitor up there on the mound. Like when he gets the ball, he's on the mound. He's the best player on the field, and nobody's going to match it. And that's how he is. That's how he was the other night. That's how he was. That's how he's been pretty much all season. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing today with Flint to see how they were. I'm interested to see how Boonville responds. As Boonville's throwing their ace today, Knox Houston, he's 8-0. So I'm interested to see how this matchup on the mound really plays itself out. So, this could be a good pitching matchup. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So you like PCS and Summerall to clean things up tonight? You mentioned it, Summerall, you know, they've been in a game three every series.
Yeah, the game twos, they've lost every game two in the playoffs. Game two to Stone County, lost that game 16-15, lost game two
No, excuse me.
To Purvis.
They lost game one to Purvis. And so, so they had to win game two and game three to, you know, extend their season. And then South State Championship, they got beat 11-0 by South Jones. So, mm-hmm. and, so yeah, and Pontotoc's throwing their ace tonight. Miller Finn, he's going to Jones College as a, he's a left-handed pitcher. The key with him is to lay off the off-speed. He doesn't tend to walk a lot of batters. That's the scouting report on him. His off-speed, I don't want to say not consistent because he's a good pitcher. He walks a lot of batters. That's just the downfall against him. He just walks a lot of batters. Doesn't give up a lot of hits, but he walks a lot of batters. So we'll just see how that goes tonight. And, of course, a left-hander's in high school baseball – left-handers are for whatever reason they're hard to hit, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, we hope you see some baseball, Brandon, and pray for us, because we hope to see some baseball too. But Brandon, thanks for joining us, and again, Brandon, you know, covers all this stuff. If you want to see updates on tonight's game, go to his Twitter. He just does a great job over there, Brandon Shields on Twitter. He'll give you all the updates tonight. As we already mentioned, one Pine Belt team, 7A state champions in Pedal, and then looking to get two more with PCS and Summerall, both in game two tonight in Pearl, Mississippi. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right. Still here in Montgomery. And, Bob, I see some charter buses over there.
I see two buses.
I don't know if that's a team that we're looking for, or they're just going to eat lunch. Because it didn't look like they were pulling into the ballpark.
Well, a positive note, John and I did find some more oatmeal cookies, but now they've locked up the drinks. This day is not going well here. Well, things are not going well.
I mean, if you look at the radar, it looks like we're just like bracing for these storms to roll in. But Montgomery's just, we're just sitting. Look at this radar. I mean, this is our dot, and it just looks like just avoiding us until
it
downfalls.
It's not raining at all.
Yeah, and those buses aren't coming anywhere near the ballpark.
No,
they're leaving.
So. Hey, as we head to the break, I do want to remind you about some of our great sponsors that are making this coverage possible. Century First Federal Credit Union. They're, of course, located across from USM on Hardy Street, member-owned and operated, serving Forest and Lamar counties with all the amenities of large banks, but with a hometown touch. Ferris Tractor Company, your local Kubota dealer with locations in Hattiesburg and Poplar. Brand new equipment, parts, and service, and they're proud supporters of Southern Miss. Genesis of Hattiesburg has been a longtime supporter of Southern Miss. John Cox, I'm sure, knows all about Mr. Grubbs and his support of basketball through the years.
Yeah, he's been a great supporter. He and his family have been great supporters over the years for just about everything that was going on at Southern Miss. So, yeah, he's a big part of the Southern Miss family. He's been great to me. He's been a great mentor and a great friend to me over the years. So, yeah, I appreciate everything Matt Grubbs has done for me and what he's done for Southern Miss.
All right, and also want to thank our good friends at Corner Market. That's where John and I meet on a pretty regular basis. We both live out in the Bellevue area and see each other fairly frequently at Corner Market Food Store. So be sure you go by there today. And
with Jenny's.
Yes, with Jenny's ice cream, which is Dima's favorite. All right, when we come back, we'll try to get an update, see if there's anything new.
Scott and, Kirk should be joining us.
Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV is going to be joining the three of us as well. Stay with us. Super Talk Eagle Hour, Montgomery, Alabama.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour is at Montgomery, Alabama, at Davos Park here, trying to wait out the rain delay. Still not raining, but we're in a rain delay, and we have been since 11 o'clock this morning. Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV joins. Have you ever met John Cox? This guy sitting to my right here.
I've heard of him a couple times.
He's nervous now being on the radio, so be nice to him.
I've always admired him. Sometimes the only reason I watch the 10 o'clock news is to listen to his melodious voice share all the things
melodious
in the world of sports that day. And when I'm done, I feel like I've completely filled of everything that's important in sports.
I just want to give the audience inside information. Everything John says, I coached him through it. I'm the one that coached John Cubs.
Did I read it just the way you wrote it down?
Yes.
That's right.
Can someone tell me what melodious means?
Don't worry. I'll Venmo you later, John.
Can someone explain that?
Have you ever been a singer?
Melodious?
I don't know that word.
Have you ever known a singer?
Never known one.
No. Yeah. No. Singers are melodious.
Oh, okay.
Because they...
They sing melodies.
Melodies, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Damon revealed to us, Scott, he's a big country music fan but doesn't know who Hank Williams is. Michael Mergens, our producer, said that's like saying you're a rock and roll fan but don't know who Elvis is, and he said he didn't know who Elvis was.
Yeah, I don't know who Elvis is.
Okay.
All right, now, Scott, seeing that you're the sports director at WDAM, have you got some inside scoop you can share with us about the baseball tournament here?
Nothing I can share comfortable in the radio, but I can tell that there's going to be a lot of intense conversations that are going to be had, or if
it's
not, they're being
the four
had
of us
right
talking.
Now.
No one will ever hear you.
Most definitely. They're definitely having some uncomfortable conversations right now.
Well, they're talking about maybe moving it, but I can understand how some schools might not be thrilled about having games moved to a Sun Belt school. I mean, I think all those things are understandable. I mean, at this point, John, do you go to a single elimination?
I've seen that happen, but, I don't think they're to that point yet. I think they're going to – they'll work it out. You know, sometimes you got to play into the early hours of the morning to get a round down, and that may be what happens here.
And it is starting to rain now some as we look at. All right, so, Scott, let me get back to you. What has surprised you so far? Any team in particular surprising to you so far in the tournament?
I think Texas State, they have looked very strong. That comeback went late last night when it looked like they were down and out. Louisiana had a nice grip on their neck, and the Bobcats just escaped. And they actually lost one of their star players a couple weeks ago. He just left the team. Dawson Park, I believe his name was.
I think they dismissed him from the team.
Yeah, dismissed him from the team, but he was a really good player. Hit over 300, did so last year. He was in a sophomore campaign, but since then, the Bobcats have really taken off, so it almost feels like they've kind of cut something off of them and helped them a little bit.
And now they're in the best position because of the delays. They're the only team now with
in the semifinals.
Correct, with two wins under their belt. Yes,
that's
so
right.
Somebody's got to beat them twice on the other side of the bracket, which is still Louisiana and Coastal. Dudes, guys, I'm going to tell you, that's three pretty good teams right there. You know, battling it out here on that side of the bracket.
It's just crazy, and I already said this on the show, but it's just unbelievable that Coastal and Louisiana have to play again. That's the fifth time in the
past
week.
It happened to Southern Miss and Troy, I believe, a couple years ago.
They played four times.
Right.
But it's starting to rain pretty heavily now, so we're going to get.
It would never do that in Knoxville.
You couldn't eat at an Applebee's either, could you?
We could go to Applebee's here, though.
Can you? We're all really happy about the possibility of Tennessee coming back to Hattiesburg. Their fan base was so warm and receptive when they were here the last time. Don't you think, Scott?
Absolutely. I think the city Hattiesburg people are probably doing their best to get a portable Applebee's downtown or something like that. But
portable Applebee's.
John Cox, do you have a number two seed you would like to see in Hattiesburg in particular?
Not really. I just like great matchups. And we've had some great teams come in there to Hattiesburg. But nobody that comes to my mind that I would pick over another one.
Who's at the top of your mind, Scott, that you would foresee as the number two seed?
What I would foresee, what I think the committee would do, would probably be a Tennessee. But I'll open up my big mouth. This is what I think. I don't want to see an Ole Miss. I don't want to see a school like that. They play each other so much during the regular season of baseball.
Correct.
To me personally, it is a little bit boring. I understand there's a rivalry there. I get it's a Mississippi thing. I understand it's quote-unquote regional. But to me, it's boring because I've seen it happen so many times. I like the idea of a new team coming in, like an Oklahoma, State, that Southern Miss has not matched up against, that brings new attention to the city of Hattiesburg, that brings a spotlight on Southern Miss to another fan in another part of the country that's going to go watch ESPN2 or something like that. To me, that sounds more exciting than a team that we already know.
Well, I agree, but would either one of you guys, you or Dima, would you foresee a tournament without an SEC school in it?
No. It's just not possible just because there's so many SEC hosts that you have to send these SEC 2 seeds somewhere because they can't go to a host site with an SEC team.
I wonder how much different it is now that 16 through 32 are kind of paired, though.
Well, they are paired, but there's still a leeway. Like, you still can't send a team in the same conference to a regional. So, for example, the four SEC teams that aren't hosting, that are on the bubble of hosting, is Arkansas, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and that might be all three of them. Oklahoma, that's the other one. Mm-hmm. And those four teams are going to be two seed somewhere.
I would say you don't want to see Arkansas.
No.
They are very good.
But I think Arkansas is in that mix that could be in Hattiesburg, right? Mm-hmm. So now if they went on a turn in the SEC tournament, they might find themselves in a way to host. But it's just not likely that you're going to have all four of those two seeds that you're going to have regionals to put them in that's not Southern Miss.
Pretty much assured now Ole Miss will not host.
Yes,
I would think
they're not hosting.
If anybody from USM is listening, they go, "Oh, guys, we still have a conference tournament here, one game at a time."
Yeah,
that's what they're all saying right now.
Oh yeah, well, and that's exactly right. We don't know if it'll ever be played, but you're exactly
right. It's
ranked
pretty hard now.
Yeah, we have been here since Tuesday, and the Golden Eagles have played one game. There are teams out of the tournament, and the Golden Eagles have still played one game.
Bad luck of the draw too, because I believe Louisiana is off today. Is that right?
No, they got to play tonight. The next game they play Coastal.
So did they not get an off day?
No, they're in the losers bracket against Coastal.
But Texas State.
Is that who it was?
Texas State doesn't play today.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so I was saying, so Southern Miss was supposed to have the off day today. If they would have went 2-0, they had it yesterday. Texas State not playing, they don't have to deal with this chaos. Right.
Right. I mean, Southern Miss was on the beneficiary if they were supposed to play last night.
Right, right. John, who surprised you so far in the tournament?
Team-wise?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. You know, I get a chance to see most of them play during the course of the year. I just have been amazed at the success of the Sun Belt. I mean, it's starting to get a little more attention than it, but it deserves a lot more. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really good baseball league. Most of the places we go to have either got great facilities or in the process of improving their facilities. The fan base has kind of surprised me. We've been most places we go, they've got great crowds and they're into it and all those kinds of things. So, you know. I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy. I kind of like things the way they are, but it's been great for Southern Miss. I know that. It's been a lot of fun to be around the Sun Belt and be a part of the Sun Belt.
Scott, I think you were on the field the other night when Southern Miss was playing. Can you clarify for our listeners what transpired with their coach and and they threw him out on the first batter?
Are we talking about Georgia State?
Georgia State, yeah.
In that series? So basically about four pitches in, I believe with leadoff walk to start the day,
leadoff walk.
And Georgia State's head coach in their dugout had blurted something out about maybe Southern Miss getting favorable calls.
It was the first batter,
and the umpires they were not playing around with that. They threw him out, and that everything went crazy. He said, "The umpire, really? Four pitches? That's all I get?" And a lot of words I cannot repeat without super talk being in a world's worth of fines. They weren't happy, and really, I can tell you that sitting next to their dugout, Georgia State, the entire game was using that as motivation. They were playing with the biggest chip on their shoulder. I mean, very gritty, nasty attitude. Anything Southern Miss would do, it felt like even if, you know, USM was tying their shoe the wrong way, they were trying to use that as any bit of motivation to take down the big dogs.
The USM players ignored them, didn't they?
A little bit. I did see, like, maybe they were toying with them a little bit, trying to play mind games, but I think it was just the game within the game. Nothing disrespectful, just the game within the game.
Trying to find an edge.
Of course.
Trying to find some edge to beat the number one team in the tournament.
And for a while, I think it was working for Georgia State. I do think that maybe their head coach getting ejected helped them a little bit, gave them a little bit of a, you know, tough, hard-nosed edge. Because, I mean,
let me tell you, guys,
that very well.
I thought they were fighting. I thought
they
Georgia
really
State
were.
Was tough the other night. That game could have gone either way.
I thought that ball in the ninth inning that Adam Haber hit, I thought that was out.
I thought it was out, too.
I mean, we're talking about inches here from Georgia State maybe being in the winner's bracket right now.
Correct. Boy, that strikeout Kobe Allen got with one out, runners at second and third, was massive, wasn't it?
I can tell you that during the game, Georgia State's dugout was extremely frustrated, not just with the calls, but with themselves. A lot of helmets being smashed on the ground, bats being smashed against the wall, yelling, things like that. I do say this as a compliment. Southern Miss has a lot of things happen during the ups and downs of a baseball season. They always find ways to stay level-headed, keep a good attitude about it. I cannot say the same about other teams. Southern Miss has really good control of their emotions.
All right, you guys going to stick around for one more segment?
Absolutely.
We're going to wrap things up here from rainy Montgomery, Alabama. And now the rain is falling here at the ballpark as we continue in a long weather delay. We'll be right back. Super Talk Eagle Hour in Montgomery, Alabama, Sun Belt Conference Baseball Championship. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, back in Montgomery, Alabama, we're quizzing Dima. He also did not know who Jimmy Rogers was, and you're a country music fan. Michael, is that possible?
Hey.
Obviously, George Strait. But no, I brought that up because of that train going through, which the atmosphere of the train. Yeah. I started thinking about Jimmy Rogers, who I don't know. Have you heard of Meridian, Mississippi, Dima?
Have you heard of that, Dima?
Is that somewhere north of Hattiesburg?
I think so.
It's a little north.
He did reveal, though, Michael, he's a Swiftie.
That explains.
I actually asked him. I go, Dima, do you know who Johnny Cash is? He goes, oh yeah, that guy from that movie.
Okay, look. George Strait, Clint Black, Morgan Wallen, Chris Stapleton, Luke Combs. There's so many good country artists.
Morgan Wallen in the same sentence with George Strait. It's kind of crazy.
Dude, Morgan Wallen's a great singer.
He's a good singer.
Michael,
Ella Langley? Ella Langley's going crazy.
Are you hearing how this is digressed here, Michael? This is a sports show.
That's what happens in a rain delay, though.
There's nothing to do.
Since we are a sports show, Adam Dolak. Did I say his last name?
Doliak.
Yeah, Doliak.
Yes.
Adam Doliak.
Great first baseman for the Golden Eagles.
Great singer.
Keys to the City, World Series song, College World Series song.
Again, you got to forgive me. I wasn't here for that. So Doliak. But, yeah, I've heard his stuff.
Yes.
The rain's coming down.
So the rain is coming down. And seriously, folks, this is just my projection, and no one – I'd be the last person to know. I think four or five this evening. What do you say, Scott?
I'm going to say later than that.
I think it's going to be about 6:30 because we're probably not going to have an update for another couple hours. Even when you do, both teams are at their hotels. They have to bus over here, get all their baseballs, get all their equipment, bag up here, and then they have to do a real good warm-up because they've been sitting there in the hotel doing Lord knows what, right? So it's going to be a while, even if the weather's clear. Now we got to pull the tarp off too. We got to make sure the grass is okay. Get the workers back in here. It's going to be
Once they get the green light, it's going to be 2 hours before you play baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a normal.
And if you look at the radar right now, folks, and you can do that back home in Mississippi, I mean, it just doesn't look good. There's just all kinds of rain in the area.
They're in a heap of trouble. I think that's like fair to say that there's no let up. I mean, this line of storms has been just sitting here for the past 2 hours, which is why they didn't play this morning. And now it's starting to come in. But I mean, this line of storms, by the time these get through here, it's going to be 4 or 5 o'clock. Yeah.
I do wish that there was a better line of communication from the conference, or at least from the teams. I've heard things. I know things. I cannot say, but I do wish that there was some website where, you know, the conference would list contingency plans like they do with tiebreakers for the regular season, or if they said XYZ in the event of, you know, ABC. I wish there was a clearer line of communication.
Guys, I hate to say this, but in all honesty, Southern Miss should have as least concern as anybody here. They're going to host a regional next week, whether they play another game or not.
Also, sure, they won the regular season. Correct. So, like, what happens if you finish the tournament, right?
Right.
Like,
but it's Troy and Texas State that you have to believe really want to play because they're still trying to get in the regionals.
Well, definitely, right? Troy. And D1 Baseball just came out with their new Field of 64 projections, and it had Louisiana, of course, safely in. I'm trying to pull it back up here because I accidentally clicked off of it. It had Louisiana in the Field of 64, but Troy was one of the first four teams out, I believe. So they really need a win.
They need a win
to get themselves back in. And you mentioned Texas State. D1 Baseball had them on the bubble. As they actually have Texas State and Troy as the first two of the first two teams out. So both of them need to win, and Louisiana, one of the last four teams in. So three bubble teams who need another win. They need it bad.
Absolutely. And I do feel comfortable sharing this. There was a meeting happening before the game. I'm not sure if this happened before I came on, but it did appear that Skylar Meade, Troy's head coach, was so desperate to play baseball. Now, whether that be happening right now or not, we don't know, right, because right. Of the weather. But he was so desperate to try and play a game. You right. can tell how badly this one meant.
Well, and again, Oz has no reason to be desperate. His team's going to host a regional. And Oz is not going to bring Camden Clark out here and pitch two innings knowing that the weather's coming in, right? You can understand both coaches' positions.
Troy. I mean, I don't understand the reasoning other than needing to play the game, but they didn't need to burn their arms.
No.
They were going to play. This is only going to be their second game.
No. So. We heard that. You're confirming that, though. They really wanted to play.
I was watching them, and I'm reading body language. I'm reading his hands. I'm seeing the way he's talking. I can tell he wanted to play so bad.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't
Which
know what
theoretically,
I said, but
the real question is why that game didn't start at 9 a.m. Because you would have gotten that game in, and at this juncture, you'd be in a weather delay for just two games, just trying to figure out two other games. But right now, you're in a weather delay trying to figure out three games that need to be played today because tomorrow is for the semifinals.
Yeah, you're looking at 12 hours to play three games by the time you.
And that's you're putting yourself in a really tough position where this is probably going to get extended to Sunday morning where you're playing a game there before the championship game.
All right, last question before we run out of time, guys, to both of y'all. This cannot hurt Southern Miss's regional hopes, right?
They for sure have a regional. This is obviously going to be detrimental to their top eight scenario where, coming to the tournament, you thought there was an outside chance. I think that's gone at this juncture, especially with Florida beating Alabama. I don't think there's a path for Southern Miss to get a top eight.
Hey, we want to thank Parrish Tractor Company, Century First Federal Credit Union, Corner Market Food Stores, and Genesis of Hattiesburg for sponsoring our 3 days of coverage. Scott, thank you for coming by, man. We had planned this, then we thought we had lost you because we thought we would be playing, but it all worked out.
Always love coming on the Eagle Hour.
All right, we sure appreciate you, man. Dima, thanks for your help all week. Michael, thank you back in Hattiesburg for getting us on the air every day. And most of all, thank all of y'all that tune in and listen every day. And thank you for all the kind words I've been getting from fans here this week about the show. We'll be back in the studio Monday at 1 o'clock with regional news. Until then, Southern Miss to the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.